Listen to the lion, hear me roaring in the jungle. Leader of the pack, get the bag, I never fumble. You realize all the time you give it. You realize all the time we waste it. Chin up to the sky, got the pride on my back. Never lacking, never lagging, I'm the baddest, I'm the queen. Head of the pride, loyalty and all that. Hold a chat, matter of fact, I'm the greatest ever seen.
Welcome to another English episode of the Healer Hip Hop Podcast. I know it's about time we do these in English, but this season has been all about Flinter artists from Germany, Austria, and Switzerland because they were featured on my first ever online hip-hop festival, the Flinter Hip-Hop Festival. Today's guest, Kasyan, also did an amazing performance at the festival. Kasyan is born in Jamaica, raised in the Cayman Islands, and now lives in Berlin. And that's why I invited her to both the festival and also to the podcast. If you want to see Kasyan's amazing performance for the festival, you still can get music-only tickets, like they're the recordings of the live stream and the musical performances of 23 artists, amazing artists. Some of them sing and rap in English and some of them in German, but I believe music, especially hip-hop, is a universal language, so you'll be just fine. And now please enjoy my next guest, Kasyan. Okay, then I welcome you, Kasyan. Do I pronounce it correctly? Like, I know your name is Kasyan and then no. Kasyan, so I don't know.
Yeah. No, so it's also Kasyan with the two X's.
With the two X's. Okay.
Right. My artist name before actually was Black Joint. and then I was like, oh, I need something that's more palatable, I think. I was like, but I like my name and I want to keep it. So I was just like, okay, it could be my name, but just like make it more extraterrestrial because I feel like I'm an alien on the inside. So then I was like, then we just put the X's in and that's that.
Yeah. So that's the German in me trying to pronounce it like Kasyan. So hi.
Yeah.
Hi again, Kasyan. And I'm very happy you came down on Earth for us to talk with you today.
Thank you so much. I am so happy to be here. But to be honest with you, I feel like Earth is ghetto and I want to leave.
I'm coming with you. Please take me.
I'm ready to be out. I'm like, peace out, Earth. I need my spaceship. Beam me up right now.
wherever it takes us, I want to come. Yeah, this
right.
Is really ghetto. It's become really something. Yeah.
Right.
So, you are a hip-hop artist, a songwriter, you write poems, and you're an alien. Well, maybe just describe yourself in a few words. Like, yeah, apart from that, like, who are you? Who's Kasyan?
Right. Oof. Kasyan is, I think the best term that I've ever heard used to describe who I am was an octoperson. Because I feel like I do so many things and then do so many things well. And I know it's, you have to be humble, right? And be like, oh, I don't know. You know, but no, I am not going to be humble because I am a phenomenal person. And the things that I do, like, you know, ultimately what I want to, at the end of like life, at the end of all of these things, what I want to do is be able to help the world in some way, shape or form with my music, with tea, with everything. So yeah, I feel like that term really described who I am, and that is an octoperson, a multifaceted being that kind of just goes after what I feel, what I love, what I desire, you know, the things that drive me, the things that bring passion into my life, and that's like ultimately like who I am is just this person who is always. I guess on the pursuit of fulfilling her passions.
Totally understand. Yeah. Totally love that. I think another term is a scanner. Is it an international term? Like to be a scanner? That's like when you have
scanner. No,
I've came across this term and I describe myself as a scanner. That's somebody who's like, if I'm interested in something, I go very, very deep into it. And then it's like I'm a bee.
Yes.
And then I go to that other shiny thing and I go very, very deep into it. So I have these many facets as well. And that's what I love about you because you're more than an artist. You seem like you love financial freedom.
Right.
You seem to be a businesswoman. You're a spiritual person. Mm-hmm. So at least that's the things I saw. Yes. So I imagine there's a lot more. So
yes.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. You know, as you were saying, like the entrepreneurship is, as well, is something that I've always strived for. I don't like being told what to do, and not in the sense of like nobody can talk to me, but in the sense of I'm the one that's living my life. You know, I'm the one that has to wake up every day to be Cassian. And if I have someone else telling me how to do that, that is not fulfilling my ultimate purpose for myself in this world and for the people around me. So I think working for people has always been an issue for me. And not to say that I've, like, you know, been fired from jobs. Like, I've been in jobs where the bosses, when I left, they're like, oh my God, Cassian, we need you back in this office. Like, you know, I'm my boss from back home. She's to this day, we still talk and communicate. And she's like, we would be happy to have you back in the office at any time. So I do my work when I'm there. But at the same time, it's not fulfilling for me because it's not what I, what drives me or what is, like, you know, passionate for me. Yeah, so I don't like being told what to do. And then secondly, in terms of like spirituality, you know, like it was a long journey for me, and I'm still on this journey. I feel like back home, like the country where I'm from, it's a heavy Christian society. And I wasn't able for a long, long, long time, wasn't able to really truly express who I was as an individual person, as a bisexual, like, or a queer woman. I had to kind of keep that always locked away, and I felt stifled. And then when I moved to Berlin, I moved away from Christianity because I was a Christian, due to my upbringing and everything. And even before I moved to Berlin, I started to move away from Christianity because certain things that people would say or do, it just didn't align with my morale or the things that I had in my mind and who I was. Because I knew that I was a queer woman, and nobody else knew that because I couldn't express that. And a lot of things, like a lot of my dating life and everything, it was such a struggle. And because I couldn't really express this aspect of who I was. And so, like, moving to Berlin and moving into my own spiritual journey brought me to this place of, like, connectedness, this place of really seeing the world for what it is and trying my hardest to connect or to tie my life and the things that are happening in this world together, because we are all connected beings, right? And so the work that I do with my music and everything like that, like, I'm working on a project right now that has a lot to do with spirituality. Like, it's in my head. I haven't even finished one project yet. Like, the hashtag Zodiac project isn't even done yet. It's not even done yet. And then, like, I'm already in my mind, like, okay, the next step for me after the Zodiac project is to dive deeper into my spirituality, to explore that more, and to be able to kind of explore that with my fans and explore that with the people who are, you know, watching me, listening to my music, buying tea from me. For example, with the tea parties, we do a lot of healing within the tea parties themselves. So it's, for me, it's all about just healing and the spiritual connection to ancestry and to the gods and goddesses within each and every single one of us.
I resonate with so much you're saying.
Oh, can you hear me?
I hear myself when now? I talk. Yeah, now it's better.
Oh,
it's better. It's better.
Perfect. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
So I'll say it again. I resonate with so much you're talking about, like, as I said, like, I like the artist side, the hip hop side, the passion for music, that's one part of me. I have a very analytical side. I'm so passionate about being an entrepreneur, financial freedom. What I also love and what I kind of shy away from sharing is tarot. Like,
me too.
I couldn't connect the hip hop with the, you know, I see it in many artists, like they're not about abundance so much. It's just about the art and about keeping it real. And it's like, especially for women, I feel the business side is kind of not really, I don't see it in many, many artists. And the spiritual side, so I love seeing that, like that you dare to unite all of it. Like I'm still shying away from it a bit.
Yeah.
So I have different little projects where I live those sides. And so seeing you and what you do and how you connect all those things really was freeing to me. Also, as you said, I had a lot of unlearning to do because I grew up not so much a Christian, but I grew up in a socialist, in the socialist part of Germany, Eastern Germany. So I was told I have to obey. And it's the same problem like you. If you tell me what to do, I will do it, but I will hate it all the way. Because I have this inner truth and this inner longing for things. And I love doing things better and more efficient. And I want a reason behind things. So I kind of had to unlearn a lot of things and free myself. So I love that you're doing that. And I can imagine, well, as you called your album, Breaking Cycles. So probably you didn't grow up just like that. It's like you had to first see how were you brought up and what needs to change for you to really live a rich life.
Right.
So in the Breaking Cycles album, there's one big topic, and that's masculinity that you talk about. You talk about a probably very toxic father, but also very, very positive role models in form of your uncles who've passed away. So please share that with us, because I think masculinity and positive role models and also the toxic parts that plays a huge part in our society and especially for us women when we grow up. So just take us back to like those cycles and where you grew up.
Yeah. So first of all, I would like to say thank you for asking this question. And I also would like to say thank you for listening and understanding the music and the lyrics, because I don't know if everybody, you know, kind of understands the struggle and the depth to what was put on this album. And I know it's not like it's not a debut album. It's not because, I was such a small artist and I'm still in the baby stages of my journey as an artist, as a hip hop artist. But I feel like I have a story to tell. And I told a little bit of that on the Breaking Cycles album. So I am so grateful that you listened and tuned in and was able to really get these points out of that. So in my life, like I grew up, my dad was never present. He passed away when I was 17. There was still a lot of resentment and hate in my heart for him because I felt like I didn't have a father figure in my life. My uncles were that for me, but my mom and I moved away from Jamaica when I was seven. This was just after my uncle passed when I was six. Like I saw him, get shot and killed right in front of me. So this was after that, my mom was like, all right, this is enough. I can't live in this space anymore. And for her, I am so, so, so grateful because if it wasn't for her, like I would not be here today. I don't know where I would have been, but my uncles, they were, I don't know. They just had this beautiful light. And I think like they were a beautiful light in my life. I don't know what, they did outside of our home because I was young. I don't know the ins and outs of who they really were as human beings. But to me, they were such a light in my life. They helped to kind of navigate my love for music as well. My dad was also a musician. So I think that's where kind of I get the love for music from, like in my DNA. But in terms of like physically finding a love for music, my uncles really helped to kind of navigate and bring that to where it is today. I remember like Sundays we would be in the house and they're cleaning or cooking, and they cooked. Like, Jamaican men in general can cook so good. It's just, it's ridiculous to me. And so my uncles, like, they cooked food all the time. You know, they were always, taking care of me, especially my, the first uncle that passed, passed away, that I spoke about in Uncle's Glory. He was like my favorite uncle. He always took care of me. He pretty much acted as if he was my father. And then the other two uncles, like, even though we weren't as close, they still had an impact on my life. And so going from not having a father figure or not having my father in my life to having three or four, actually, because I have another uncle who's still alive and he lives in Jamaica with his wife and kids and everything. So to having four uncles who basically kind of helped to create the vision that I have for masculinity, for lack of a better term. I was so grateful for that. And it really helped to kind of just, yeah, it helped me to get in tuned with my masculine energy. And I think for a very, very long time, even to now, to this day, this is what I was more in tuned with, more in tuned with my masculine side. You know, I played sports. I was always like, you know, roughing with the boys, and, you know, I was never, I also feel like masculinity and femininity, it's so nuanced, because, but for me, like, the feminine energy is more like caring and empathetic and soft. And I wasn't able to be soft for a very long time. And I'm still not able to be soft, because now I'm like, you know, I'm a mother. I have to hustle. I have to, you know, do my music. I have to be on stage. I have to be like business. I have to be hard, and I have to be set boundaries and all of these things. But I'm trying right now to figure out how to connect that to my spirituality, how to connect that to the feminine energy, tie those things together and make it like that I can communicate with the feminine energy, that I can communicate with, tune into my feminine energy and be more soft and be more kind, and not just for the outer world, but for myself, because I have been very hard with myself my entire life. You know, just all the things that I've been through, all the things that I've seen, you know, relationships that I've been in, like, just the toxicity that I allow to be in my space. And I feel like being able to step into my feminine energy will allow me to really set those boundaries and then be able to also adhere to them and not let people cross them, but in a soft, empathetic way.
Yeah. Wow. It's like, you're talking like, no, you talk like a mirror talking back to me. Because I have this, I didn't know my father from when I was four. So there was a lot of resentment there. Mm-hmm. And I've been very, very hard to myself. And I had a very good stepfather. I have I had a wonderful grandpapa, but no matter how many men were in my life, I still hated my father so much for not being there. But
right.
I don't know. Right. So I've been through everything, that the toxic relationships and the being so hard and not allowing the soft side. And if I did allow it, it's only like at home or and music. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's what I've been drawn to with music and hip hop music. Many of the artists were missing their dad. So maybe that's why right. In your album, that's what I heard. and really, really, yeah. Really, because that's always like resonating with me. And then I have another question about that. In God Is We, you say mm-hmm. He's definitely not a he. I mean, as much as God Is We is beautiful, but the way you say it, mm-hmm. like, he's definitely not a he.
Right.
I was wondering, is there still some kind of, hurt, pain, or is it to do even with the church?
So when I wrote God Is We, to be honest with you, like, I'm starting to even forget the way that I come to write these songs. Like, even just the most recent, I'm just like, am I supposed to just write the music and put it out? Because I really forget the process of writing. I just know, like, that I heard the beat, and I don't know, for some reason, something in my heart and my soul just said, like, I am a god. And that's a topic that I want to write on. It doesn't really have anything to do with the church. It's because Breaking Cycles is also more of like a fuck you to to the world, like, you know, kind of just saying, like, you know, I've been through all of these things and you want me to be a certain way, but that's not the way I am. And that's not the way the world is. And with everything that society, the societal norms of things, the way that people are kind of teaching us how to be as human beings is not right. And it doesn't feel right. And then it was more about creating, and it was like, okay, I'm creating this song and I'm feeling the depth of the beat and the, you know, the sounds and everything coming together. And it was like, okay, we are creators, whatever we, with whether we write music, whether we write poems, whether we create portraits, whether we are mothers, whether whatever, we are creators, all of us. And looking within myself, as a creator, as a mother, I was like, we've been told for so long to refer to God as he, right? But God could never be a he, because the logic of the Bible and Christianity, or just any religion in general, we are created in the image of God, right? And so if this is the case, how is God a man when there are so many different multifaceted human beings in this world, people who are not identifying as male or female, people who identify as alien, like, so God is like, we are the creators of our world. We are the creators of our universe. We are the creators of everything around us. And I feel like we got disassociated from that somewhere along the line. Throughout history, we got like super just disconnected from who we are, as gods. And I feel like there's going to be a time where we find our way back to that, back to, you know, the gods within us, back to knowing that we are the creators of our own futures, our own present, our own past. Like, we are the ones that are in control of this. There will be a point where we get back to this, and I hope that I'm around to see it, but I doubt it. maybe in another lifetime, like when I get reincarnated, because I believe in reincarnation as well. So hopefully I get reincarnated and I remember this moment. And then ultimately we'll come back to that. But yeah, I just don't feel like, for me personally, God is not male. God is all of us.
I feel that. I literally feel it. It's like God must be in me and around me, yeah. and that's it to me. Right.
But I mean, also to answer the question, like, it didn't have anything to do with like really church or like any resentment towards the male figure. It was just more about the societal teachings that God is a male. And if anything, and there's a gender, God definitely is a woman. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if there's a gender, God is definitely a woman, because I mean, look at the things that we can do. Look at the things that we carry. Look at the things that our bodies can do. Like, they say that the pain that we experience during giving birth is 10 times the pain that the human body can actually take, like, to, like, for death, basically. And I'm like, we are doing this and surviving. Mm-hmm. God definitely ain't a he. You know, if there's to be a gender, definitely not absolutely a man. But yeah.
You also mentioned something called everybody wants to be black until they got yes black. And I want you to talk about that a bit, because I listened to it, because there's mm-hmm a German, diasporan German, African German rap group called BSMG. Don't know if you know them. They're in Berlin.
I don't.
It's about Megalo and Ganyan Stallion, and they joined together for that album. And there is a song called, in German, N-Wort, which is the N-word. Everybody wants to be an N-word like me. And then it's the same story, like until, but they don't really know what that comes with. So tell me a bit about your experience. I think, there was a lot of unlearning as well.
Right. So when I wrote the song, it was during like the height of the police brutality. I mean, it's still going on today, but it was during like the time where everybody was like the Black Lives Matter movement was pretty heavy. You know, this was when George Floyd had gotten murdered. You know, all of these things, just a chain of events just kept happening and happening. And every single time you'd go on social media or, you know, turn on the TV, there's another police shooting of a Black person for no reason. And it was just like, oh my goodness, I can't take this anymore. So then I wrote the song, and it actually, the way that it is now was actually not the way that it started out, the song, the way that it is on the album. It wasn't, it was completely different. It was still some of the same lyrics, but it was just a totally different way that it sounded. But then I was like, you know, just kind of thinking also in terms of cultural appropriation, and in terms of, you know, just people using the Black body to gain things in life, but then not returning those gains to the community, not highlighting, you know, Black creators, you know, Black people who have done things in this world, who there's some inventions that, you know, that people don't even know that it was Black people that invented these things. Everybody just assumes that it's white people. And it's like, you know, just these little things, you know, and then going back also thinking about the times of enslavement and just everything. Like when I wrote this song, I was very angry, when I wrote the track. And it was just kind of like calling out the white supremacist society that we live in, you know, calling out like, especially the police in the US. And I know that my music is not US based, like it's not, I don't know if it even got that far yet, but eventually one day it will. And I hope that it's being played in a police station somewhere. That they hear it and really it's just, it was really just about calling out, you know, the injustices that we face as Black people, Black bodies walking through this world, the microaggressions, the racism, the cultural appropriation, and also being silenced, and also, you know, kind of being told that our struggles, like we need to get over it, kind of thing. Yeah, so it was just, it really is just what it is. Everybody want to be Black until it's time to come and be Black. Because at the end of the day, like you look at people like Miley Cyrus, for example, she took her career into this whole, like, I want to be in music videos with rappers now. And then when she was tired of that, when she got the recognition and the fame and the height and all of these things that she needed, she was like, oh yeah, that's ghetto. I don't want to do that. And it's like, what? You know, so these people just continue to take and take. And a prime example is like the Kardashian family. They are just the biggest cultural appropriators, and they make it a trend to culturally appropriate. And if you look on social media, all of these women are starting to make their bodies, their hair, their whatever look like that of a Black woman's body. They get tanned to be darker. They, you know, adapt the vernacular. They adapt the way of movement. And I'm not saying that because I have friends who I'm around and I adapt the way that they talk. So I get it. You know, I have friends and I realize it. I'm like, when I'm around you, I'm a different person. You know, you're a different person with every friend. And it's totally understandable. But at the same time, you need to know boundaries. You need to know history as well. And I feel like a lot of these people, they see it like, you know, the black body is a trend. It's like, oh, what new shiny thing is the black person going to do today that I can do and call it my own? And, you know, you see these young as well, like super young TikTokers that come onto the app and do all of these things and think that it's funny or that it's okay. And it's because they're not being taught better. You know, there's nobody who in their families, and because at the end of the day, when it comes to racism, when it comes to colorism, when it comes to cultural appropriation, we are not the ones that created it. So we can't end it. It has to be white people and their families and for them to teach their children better, to do better, right? And none of them are deciding to do this. I mean, there might be few pockets of, you know, allies here and there, but at the same time, it's like, when will it happen on a larger scale, you know? When will the system decide, like, hey, all right, the shit that we have been doing is completely wrong and we need to put a stop to this? Because, you know, they talk about DNA and how there's DNA memory and how all of the trauma that our ancestors experienced is still in our DNA today. So certain things that we do in life, certain things that we experience in life, it's because of the trauma that our ancestors experienced. But then when it comes to white people and white supremacy, it's like, oh, no. I have nothing to do with my ancestor because they were slave owners. That doesn't have anything to do with me. But it's like you're exhibiting the same behavior. You need to realize that this is in your DNA and you need to put a stop. You need to be the one to be like, oh, shit, let me unlearn some of this. Let me break these cycles. Let me take accountability. But everybody wants to be like, oh, no, I didn't do it, you know, when it's consistently and continuously happening. So, yeah, Everybody Born to Be Black just was like calling a song to just kind of call everybody out, to be honest with you. And the funny thing is, like, when I performed this song as well, I always, because I love to interact with the audience, I love to pull the audience into my world. I love to be in their world when I'm performing. And when I perform this song, I literally, every single time, get the whole entire crowd to chant Everybody Wanna Be Black. And they do it. And I'm like, exactly. So you need to know this so you can change this, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. It's not just about like slavery being in the DNA, because most Europeans are not direct descendants of slave owners, but our wealth here is totally built on the colonies. Right. And when I call that out to my fellow white people, many friends who are not in the hip-hop scene, they're like, what do I have to do with this? Like, they're free to...
Right, a lot. Because you are benefiting from the society that was created.
Not even just back then. Still, we have these barriers that make coffee extremely cheap, but our product's extremely expensive to them. So it's horrible. Right. And yeah, there's a lot of, like, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of, first of all, listening necessary from white people. And also, being an ally and, learning. I think we have a responsibility to learn things and actively, call these things out and call it by their name. In the album, Breaking the Cycle, you started with Cancer Sun, Scorpio Moon. I assume you're a Cancer.
Right.
And have your moon Scorpio. I can relate to that energy a bit. I have a Cancer Venus and a Scorpio Mars. So I kind of have that energy a bit.
Right.
And you repeatedly say, gotta protect my energy, And that's not just Cancer sense. It's for many people. And I love what you're singing there. But it also leads to your next projects, to the Zodiac albums. Tell us a bit about your... because I assume when you were much younger, you didn't care so much about your Cancer Sun, but you got to learn about what it means and what it means for you and why you need to protect your energy.
Right.
So introduce us a bit into the whole thing and the projects.
Right. So I didn't even know that I was going to do a project on the Zodiacs, to be honest with you. It was never a part of my plan. I didn't even get into astrology until about 4 years ago. Maybe 4.5, 5 years ago, I got into astrology. I never paid attention to like, oh, I'm a Cancer, this or blah. It was just like, my birthday is July and that's that. Then I started to kind of do more research, or I heard about astrology and started, like, I don't remember like the first video. I think a friend of mine actually, started doing tarot card readings, and I was like, oh, this seems interesting and fun. So let me try to get into like, you know, learning more about it. And I, searched up my star sign, and I was like, oh, that's me. This is the reason why I'm so emotional. This is why, you know, all of these things are happening. Like, what? Okay. So then it was kind of just like the shallow version, or like the most minimal version of astrology that I kind of learned about myself. And then this friend, I was like, hey, yeah, you know, I saw that you do tarot card readings. Would you like to do a reading for me? And so on and so forth. And she was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. Then I gave her my birthday, time of whatever. And she was like, girl, your chart is full of water. Oh my God. I was like, what does that mean? I don't know what that means at all. Like, that means nothing to me. So then she, you know, did her thing, dived deeper into it, and we had a call, and she called me, and she was like, yeah, so your sun is Cancer, your Scorpio moon and Scorpio rising, and then this has water, that has water, da-da-da-da-da, and talked about everything else, and I kind of was like, okay, cool, and then she started, like, doing the readings and stuff, and she was like, there is a lot of light around. This was one thing that stood out to me as well, and one thing that always stands out to me, and it's I'm reminded of it every single time that I perform. There's always one person from whatever stage that I perform on that comes up to me and goes, Cassianne, you have such a beautiful light, and I just want you to know that you need to keep going and doing what you're doing. And so that this is affirmation for me from that moment. We had the call, and she was like, Cassianne, there's a lot of light around you. I can see you doing well in everything that you like pursue, but you are going to be the only one that blocks these things. Like, you're in your head and in your mind, and you are the only one that can unlock this light. Like, there's such a huge bright light around you. Like, I can't, like, you know, tell you how crazy, like, the cards that I have coming out and so on. And she was like, I don't know, like, what you do or anything, like, because this person, like, she's from the Cayman Islands as well, but we haven't spoken, or we hadn't spoken, like, as friends or anything like this. So she didn't know anything about me or my life. I mean, at the time, I wasn't really deep into social media, and I didn't even start doing music at that time. I mean, I had always done music in high school, but in terms of, like, being, I'm going to put my stuff out on platforms and try to perform, and none of that was in my brain at this point in time. And she was like, yeah, I don't know, like, you know, there's something to do with like writing and like being on stage. Like, she was just like being very like vague with it. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, but all of this is great, and you have such great potential, and everything is like, it's you, the world could literally be yours, but the only way that that will happen is if you get out of your own head and you, you know, allow yourself to like kind of be free. And she was right, because a lot of the things that, I mean, clearly, she was right, because a lot of the things that was holding me back is one, not being able to be myself, which was the queer woman. You know, like being able to be like, oh shit, I am a bisexual woman, you know, and actually being able to own that. That was one of the things that was like really holding a shadow over me. And then like being able to kind of like express myself, because as a Cancerian person, I always wanted to care for and, you know, the people around me, and always wanted to kind of like just give all the time, just give, and not receive, not being able to receive, not being in a space to be able to receive. And so like throughout my journey, I've learned all of that. So when I wrote Cancer Sun, Scorpio Moon, I had done more research at this point now in my life about what the zodiac actually is, what astrology actually is, what it means with the alignment of the stars. And I'm obsessed with the universe already. Like, I love the stars. I love, like, watching documentaries on, like, just the universe in general, learning about different planets and so on. So I was already, like, I love what, even, like, UFO alien documentaries. Like, oh, my God, someone spotted an alien somewhere. I'm like, I want to spot an alien somewhere. These things. Writing this poem was kind of, like, a part of freeing myself. I, as I said, I'm starting to forget the process of even, like, getting to write these things. I don't know why. Like, it's like I write them and then it just goes away out of my brain. It's like I'm a different person when I'm writing these things, you know. And then it comes back to Cassianne, and then it's like she's the performer now. So I think the alien writes the tracks and then the performer is like, okay, it's performing time. Honestly, like, I still don't know, like, when I put the first word down on the paper or on my phone or whatever. I don't know, like, what happened in that moment that I was like, okay, this is what I'm gonna write. But the beat is my partner did it. And a lot of my best tracks, actually, my partner made the beats for them. So he made the beat for Cancer, Sun, Scorpio, Moon. He built the idea. And then my producer, like, I guess, like, finalized it. Yeah. but he wrote the beat for Cancer, Sun, Scorpio, Moon. And then when I heard it, like, it was just like these, you know, the whispers and the thunder and the lightning and the sounds. And I was like, oh, this is beautiful. And I started, you know, listening to it and stuff. And then Kobe Bryant, like, I played basketball when I was back home, and Kobe was always one of my huge inspirations. And so I was like, when I started writing a song, I was like, oh yeah, I gotta put something about Kobe in here. I don't know why, but it gotta be in there somehow. And then I thought about also, you know, protecting my energy in the sense of not giving so much of myself to people, but also giving myself to myself. And being able to say yes when people want to give to me. And then also just kind of protecting my energy in terms of the people that I have around me. I've lost a lot of friends in the last few years. I would say some my fault, some, you know, their fault. I can take ownership and responsibility for that. But I realized, like, certain things I didn't want in my life. I don't like to gossip, and I don't like to, you know, speak ill of people. And certain people that I had in my life, this was just like their daily lives. And I'm like, this is not what I want to do. I don't want to sit here and gossip about people or even listen to it, like, because that's not who I am. So I had to realize that as well in myself, and being able to step out of that and setting my boundaries and being able to say, this is a line that I am not willing for anybody to cross with me. And then, like, you know, I'm always like, I think the theme throughout this as well is talking about godliness as well. And so, like, in it, I say, I wasn't born into the God business. I earned it. Mm-hmm. So it's like earning my position as a God in this world, as a creator in this world. So that was Cancer, Sun, Scorpio, Moon, I guess.
I totally hit home. Everything you said about the friends and the gossiping and just the energy that you surround yourself with and who you give your energy and your light to. Right. Also, informing myself about astrology, like, I follow them around full moon and new moon. And these were things I never did back in the day
before,
and it had to do with reclaiming my feminine side, like, less analytical, more intuitive. So and that came with the tarot and things, so that was totally new and also very, very healing. And have that softness. But let's talk for the final question, let's talk business a bit, because I know you're about financial freedom. So am I. And you also have at least one business I know of, which is the black tea. Take us to all the projects that right now are happening or going to happen and being created. like, as you said, and I'm like that too, like, I don't know what I might create tomorrow, but for now, let's just talk about now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like now that you're saying it, I feel like it might be a Cancerian thing.
Yes.
With this.
Very intuitive. Very.
With this creating.
Yeah. Everything I do from the festival to everything I do and everything that I'm planning, right, it's a very intuitive thing. And I think that's why I didn't, right, like working for others, because that got in the way with my intuition. So if they wanted to go that way every day, right, and my ways are like this with the moon and the new moon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that didn't work. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So the first like individual business that I ever had, I think I was 21, 20, 21, 22, around these ages. And I wanted to start. I was also working full time, and every single time I've, you know, wanted to start a business or everything, I've been full time because I don't like to be out, like, financially. So I've always had a full time job and just kind of creating things on the side. But this year I've decided to take a leap of faith because I realized that I really have a huge thing in the company that I'm running now, and then also in my artistry as Cassianne. So I'm taking a leap of faith in actually quitting my full-time job, but we'll get to that. The first business that I actually wanted to start was like a game shop, which my father also owned a game shop. And for like gamers, gaming, and I had the idea, wrote the business plan, got the business license, everything, and I started it actually with my child's father. But then I ended up leaving him and leaving because, again, toxicity and just being able to step into, you know, step away from the toxic energies around me. And he decided that, because it was ultimately trying to help him to start a business, while I would stay full time. And then once the business did well, then I would leave that. He decided that he couldn't do it on his own. So everything had to be kind of shut down. Yes. So that was the first kind of business, I guess. Then I moved to Berlin, and when I started writing my poetry and everything, I write children's books as well. And so so the children's is called Afrokid series, and I have the books written, but only one of them was illustrated. And they are, I mean, it's available for print, but right now everything is on pause. So I'm not doing anything with that at the moment because it's just so difficult to print and ship and all of these things.
We
it
need
costs
you.
A
we
lot.
Need you.
And I'm doing everything out of
we
pocket.
We need you. I'm working, like, my son is half Sierra Leonean, and I'm working with the dads group, UK dad bloggers, and they're mostly of African, Jamaican heritage. Like, they're called black dads. That's what they call themselves. So,
right.
And just recently, like, I work for them as an editor, and just recently one of them, like, they have this World Book Day that we don't have in Germany, mm-hmm. but they have it. It's big in the UK. So for World Book Day, the children go to school dressed as their favorite character, book character. So the one son, right, wanted to go to school dressed as a black hero. His son was black.
Right.
And there was no superhero. Right. So we were desperately, like, looking for books for that. And so I don't know what your books are about, but we really, like, need a lot more of this literature, like, more representation there. Yeah. Just.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so the Afrokid series, it's basically about, like, real children with real experiences, but twisted in a way that it's more like a fantasy story. And each child has, like, a fairy, and the fairy is, like, an embodiment of a person around them that's helping them to navigate through life as a black child or as a BIPOC child. The first book is about my daughter, Aria, and is kind of talking about her journey to self-confidence and being able to love the skin she's in. It's called Aria Indie Afro Kid Love the Skin You're In. And she has a fairy companion, like her best friend. His name is Froby Froley, and Froby is an embodiment of me, but Froby in the book is male and very flamboyant and has like a swoop, like rainbow bangs and an afro, like Prince. He looks like Prince. So it's very, very, very cute. And it talks about a journey, like she goes to like her grandmother's house and all of the family is there and friends are there and they're helping her to write a poem for a talent show at school. And she's writes the poem, and the poem is called Love the Skin You're In. And then she's like, you know, it could be black, it could be white, it could be short, it could be tight. The skin you're in, once it's you, it's just right. Like, this is how it goes. But as I said, I haven't done anything with this book. I wrote it, I think, in 2017, maybe, and then put it out the same year, 2018. But then I started to gravitate more towards performing, more towards poetry, more towards writing music, and I kind of just like put it to the side. I will pick it up again because, as I said, I have the books written. I just don't have the illustrations for them because everything that I've done that you've seen from me is out of pocket, from my tea business to, you know, everything. Never gotten funding before, and I'm like, if y'all give me some money, y'all won't know what hit you. Give me some money, let me show you. But yeah, so then that was the book. Then I actually started like making skincare products at home, which I needed for myself, and I realized a lot of people here in Berlin as well needed it. So I started making organic skincare products with like beets and carrots and just all kinds of things, and it was nice. But then at the same time, again, it's about money. It's about having storage. It's about, you know, being able to make the products in a way that they don't get bad. And so, like, just it's just been a difficult process. And then my business partner now and I came up with Brown Sugar Black Tea, and we sat down and we blended, and we got like a whole bunch of different ingredients that we love. We did research on, you know, different things. Tea has always been a part of my life, part of my background. In Jamaica, they have a saying that says, or no, they have a saying in general that says, believe in yourself like a Jamaican believes in tea.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Because we use tea for everything, literally everything, like, you know, bush teas. And this is from the African ancestry, you know, our ancestors used teas for healing, for community and all that. And that's kind of what we want to use Brown Sugar Black Tea to bring back into our culture, is using tea for healing, for community. And I think, like, we're in a society of, like, coffee drinkers right now, but it's going to change, like, for sure, because tea is such a healthy alternative, and it can do the same thing plus more, you know, for your body. So we decided, yeah, tea was our thing, and we got, like, I don't know how many ingredients we got, but we got them, and we started blending different things, and some of them were nasty. Let me tell, I was like, oh, what is this? You know, like, this is not working. No. But we came up with 22 different blends. We only have 3 out at the moment. And then we're launching 3 more in the summertime with 3 cold brews. Also around health and healing, but more refreshing. Again, the cold brews, we want to sell them as liquids as well. But we have to figure out, like, how, because we don't want to use preservatives. We don't want to use any type of additives to them at all. So it's about figuring out how to make them last longer naturally. Because right now the shelf life for them is like 5 days in the fridge. Maybe if you freeze it, then it'll last longer. So we're either thinking that we only do like pop-ups where we sell the liquids, and then we'll sell the loose leaves, you know, that people can make it at home for themselves, because it's very, very straightforward, very simple. And I think it's a beautiful thing to be able to make tea. So yeah, that's the company that we have right now. And that's what I'm putting most of my focus on, is Brown Sugar Black Tea and myself as an artist, Cassie Ann. I also work for the Berlin radio show. I'm a part of we host and interview different artists for the radio show. We have, like, at the end of every month, each artist that we interview, we have a performance party called Haven. And Haven is actually a word that has to do with the Cayman Islands, where I grew up. And it's kind of like paradise or safe space. And so we decided to name it Haven because it's creating a safe space for individuals to be able to share their craft with the world. So that's kind of what I'm doing right now. I'm taking a step back from a lot of things, but so the main three things in my life right now are the Berlin Radio Show, Brown Sugar Black Tea, and Cassian, the artist.
Yes.
And I've decided to just focus on those three. Yes. Afro Kid will come back. It will come back for sure when I am, I think when I am getting to the space of not doing music anymore, because obviously I don't think, like, I would like to write for people eventually. So I get to a space where I'm able to kind of sustain myself from my music. And then at the end of my career, be able to write music for others and go more into the writing aspect of things. I've even started script writing. I wrote like a short script for a show that I want to create. So eventually that will also be a thing. And then maybe once I step out of music, then I'll go into like directing and creating like shows and movies. And I love quirky comedies like The Office. So I would love to create like a black version of The Office, or even just something better. Like, I don't know.
Amazing. So I guess, this is just like a snapshot of Cassian today, because we're about to see a lot more ventures. Like, yeah. This sounds like really, there's a lot of creativity.
Absolutely.
There.
There's so much more to come, like so much more.
Absolutely. So thanks for sharing this snapshot of Cassian today with us. And I'm very happy.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm very happy you'll be part of the Flinta Hip Hop Festival. I already saw your performance and it's amazing.
Yes.
And I hope to meet you in person soon, maybe in Berlin, maybe on stage, maybe somewhere.
Yes.
So, yes. Thank you very much.
Yes. Me too. I'm super excited. I'm super excited about the Flinta Hip Hop Festival. Like, all of the artists are so phenomenal. Like, I'm mind blown. And I'm so excited for people to be able to see my performance, because I was like, I'm going to give a show. So, yeah.
You look like a goddess. Like, this big stage and everything. Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Beautiful dress, beautiful makeup, whole band.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Amazing. Yeah. Okay. So thank you for now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you so much. Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.
This was Cassian for the Healer Hip Hop. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And please find all the links in the show notes, from Cassian's social media to her website to her brown sugar black tea, which tastes amazing, by the way. And if you like this interview and want to hear more interviews like these, then please subscribe to the Healer Hip Hop podcast either on Spotify or on your favorite podcast app. I already have many English-speaking interviews, and there will be many more to come, because I'm already planning for my next online hip-hop festival, which will take place in November, and it will feature international artists. For now, I want to thank you so much for joining me, and I hope to see you soon either on the podcast or on Instagram at The Healer Hip Hop. Stay tuned and let the healer hip hop.
No knowledge, no guidance for survival. Mama Africa pulled for revival. Then all of us suckers got sent to hell. No white men putting all of the blacks in jail. God is they and she. God definitely not a he. God is me, God is we, God is we. God is they and she. God definitely not a he. God is me, God is we.